And the first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 16, and can be found on your service sheet. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 14. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last for ever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jane, thank you very much. We will pray, and I'm going to pray with particular eagerness this morning. I only learned I was going to preach late last night when Steve became unwell. So let's pray that we gain something from God's word today. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word does give light. Pour your light into our hearts and minds today, we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Where will you be in 2022, in 2 years' time? If you're a Christian at the moment, will you be walking with Christ, or will you have given up on him? There's so many pressures on believers today. Pressures to apostatize, to give up on our commitment to Jesus Christ. And people sense that pressure again and again. To give up on the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. Theologians call it the scandal of particularity. People say, Jesus is just one amongst many. All religions lead up the same mountain. The book of Hebrews is written in a way which sometimes seems unrelated to us. Perhaps as Jane read, you saw those quotations from the Old Testament. And it all seemed rather odd. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, a letter. We know quite a lot about the person. They knew the Old Testament well. They understood how Jews thought. What's the date before AD 70? Because the presumption is, later on in the letter, the temple had not yet been destroyed. And this is written to people who were Jewish converts to Jesus Christ. And they're in danger of backpedaling spiritually. And the author of Hebrews, I hope you'll see in these coming weeks, confronts us with who Jesus is and what he's done. And actually, to have a strong faith, you need to get a strong view of Jesus Christ. So many people have not grasped the superiority of Jesus in every way. Their Jesus is a small Jesus, and they end up as pygmy Christians. Well, back to Hebrews 1. People do say sometimes they think that God is just an idea in the head, or my head, they say. It helps us get through life. But the Christian claim is he really is there, he really is knowable. I love the Christmas carols. And they take us back to history, once in royal David's city. It tells that baby, well, who is Lord and God of all? These are big, big claims. They've been told, the people who first visited Jesus when he was a newborn, but actually if you go to Bethlehem, you can see God. And God's expressed himself in Jesus. I wonder how many people here were born in 1961 or before. I was in 1961. How about other people here? You're not all being honest. I know that looking around. But 1961, I don't remember this, but Gagarin, the Soviet astronaut, came back and he said, God is not there. But why did Gagarin think he'd find God in space? Because God says, if you want to find me, look for me in Jesus. Yes, God is there. He has an objective reality. He's not hiding. He declares himself in the person of Jesus. In the past, verse 1, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets at many times and in various ways. But now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. What an amazing thing. God's come amongst us as a human baby, then grew up to be a man who was crucified and rose again. Think about a baby being conceived. Sixth week, the embryo is no bigger than an apple pip. The seventh week, like a small grape. The tenth week, like a strawberry. Amazing, God's come to meet us in a human being. As John's Gospel puts it, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Really, God, really human. So he could be cut, he bled, he bruised. He wept. God speaks to us in him and through him. He's come to meet us. I love what he says here. We're going to focus on the first few verses because we're told that this baby was God from the very beginning. And the first thing we're told, and really, it's a theological rocket which is detonated. The writer says first, the universe was made for him. He's the one for whom the universe was made. Made for Jesus Christ. He's the heir of all things, of everything. Through him, all things were made. We're not self-existent. There's a lovely Bupa advert some years ago. It went like this. You're amazing. We want you to stay that way. Your heart beats 100,000 times a day. Your bones are as strong as cast iron. You give birth to 100 billion red blood cells every day. Your brain is the most complex structure known to man. Your eyes can distinguish up to 1 million color surfaces. Your lungs are big enough to cover half a tennis court. You ran 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Your skin is constantly replacing itself. Have you thought about your own being? It's amazing, isn't it, what we've been made like? What are we here for? Why am I here? But in these last days, verse 2, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. He made the stars, the skies, the mountains, the distant planets. Amazing to think, but that's what God is like. And all that is his inheritance. If you paint things, or if you're an astronomer, or if you're a geographer, everything you see is Jesus Christ's inheritance. So success or failure in life depends on our relationship to him. The Bible says we can't leave him as a baby in a stable, as a preacher in Galilee, as a carpenter in Nazareth, or even as a savior who died on the cross. No, Jesus is the heir of all things. No wonder the church father Augustine could say, O God, you made us for yourselves. You made ourselves for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Life can only be answered, friends, by Jesus Christ. He's the one for whom the universe was made. Second, the universe is made through him. Not just for Jesus, but through him. He's the heir and agent. He's the one by whom all things were created, says Paul in Colossians. Jesus is a co-creator with the Trinity. He was born at Bethlehem, but it wasn't the start of his existence. He was there when the chaos was made into a cosmos. Through him, all things were made. The stars are not all by chance. Think about the sun, 93 million miles away, a rough guess. Pluto, 2.7 billion miles away. Or a clear night, and there's not too much pollution, you can look up and see the North Star. Those things aren't there by chance. Let that explode your mind. Bethlehem was not the start. No, universe was made through Jesus. He was there, beyond and before time. Third, the universe is upheld by Christ. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Christ made all, will inherit all, and also holds absolutely everything together. Think about the gospel accounts. A little girl dies, and Jesus takes her by hand and says, get up. A furious storm is still, just by a word, by his powerful word. Think about the angle of the earth, 23 degrees it sits at. The whole universe hangs in his arms. When you got up this morning, the alarm, the shower, the tea, the coffee, well, Jesus sustains all that. Somebody once said to me, if God's here, let him strike me dead. Nothing happened. And he said to me, what does that show you? I said to this guy, it shows me that God is very patient. The universe was made for him, by him, and through him. Have we grasped the splendor of Jesus? He is our past, our present, and future. And for you to be going the right way in 2 years' time, you need to grasp and live by the superiority of Jesus. And of course, he's the one, as we're told, who, after he'd made purification, sat down. You sit down when your work's done. And Jesus came and at the cross made it possible for me and you to return to friendship with him and know him forever. May God broaden and deepen our vision of Jesus. Amen.